Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and welcome to Wild World in this magical network called Blog Talk Radio as we reach around the world to such places as New Zealand, Ireland, England. We have listeners all over everywhere and across North America. Even the small community of Bainbridge, Indiana, they're listening in tonight as we have a wonderful show. And as always, from the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD, newly renovated, the honorable, distinguished, and always on time, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson. What's going on at the Batson Wildlife Preserve this evening?
Well, I have to tell you, today was the day that we moved the baboon's enclosure because for some reason it didn't want to be by the ravine with all the woods and everything. We thought it would love that location, and it did not. So there's something in the woods that bugged it.
So well, there's also six tigers over there. So
it doesn't care about the tigers. It was looking in the woods, and I would stand there, and I would stare and stare and stare and not see anything. I cannot figure out. So we moved her enclosure, which took all of yesterday and all of today to rebuild it, and she seemed to be happy, except she got so excited playing with her toy, she got a black eye.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, we're excited tonight.
Okay.
Oh, she's all right. I mean, it's a baboon. Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, they're tough. You know, tonight we have a very special guest. We are so excited. I know we're going to have a wonderful audience. He's a music legend, Dr. Day, and he wrote two of the coolest songs in the 60s, Secret Agent Man and Eve of Destruction.
Eve of Destruction is one of the most powerful songs ever written.
It is. It is. And he wrote the opening guitar riff for Secret Agent Man, which I've always thought was just giving goosebumps. P.F. Sloan's with us all the way from California, and we're so excited. And he has a brand new CD. I still like to call them albums. And this has been his dream to produce this CD, and it's absolutely amazing. It's called My Beethoven, and we're going to be listening to it tonight, talking to P.F., and it's going to be a cool show tonight. We just can't wait on Wild World. This part of Wild World is brought to you by Wildlife Educational Services. We encourage you to check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. Tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do and our wildlife education programs. Also, you can contribute to help our animal family as we visit about 200 schools this year and do presentations in front of thousands, and we're looking forward to getting started. And our website is simply LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. They make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for August 14th. The year is just moving along.
Oh, my, it is.
Yeah, now it's 68 degrees in Naptown tonight, the former ball-bearing capital of the world. Did you know that? Yep, it's true.
I didn't know that.
All right, well, we need a little help from our listeners tonight, especially around Jonesboro, Arkansas.
Uh-oh.
Now, a four-year-old dwarf goat named Daisy has been stolen from the college's petting zoo there.
Oh.
Yeah, they took Daisy, and they want her back. Now, Daisy is chocolate brown with a light brown chest and ears. She likes jumping, eating poison ivy, and candy wrappers.
Don't
so
kiss the goat.
Bring her home.
Yeah, don't kiss that goat.
Yeah, no, don't kiss the goat. Now, do you remember the old expression, waste not, want not?
Yeah.
Well, here's why. Nome, Alaska. A fisherman faces a charge of wasting fish after the Alaska State Troopers say he left salmon to rot in a gill net.
That's not right.
Yeah, not right at all. Now, we don't want to mention any names, but Roswell Schaefer, 66, left behind 103 salmon in a commercial gill net.
How many?
103.
He should be neutered.
Yes. Now, we know a lot of our listeners, we have a lot of listeners in Alaska, and that's just a no-no.
We have a lot of listeners that love salmon, so.
Yes, we do.
That's what I'm enjoying tonight, by the way, Dr. Day.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, you're a lucky man.
I know.
Did you save some for the bears?
Them bears, they get enough. They're looking at me right now. Our studio
is within 20 feet
of the bears.
Quite large creatures.
Yes, they are.
All right, our next story is a question. Who's wiser? Let me say it a little easier. Who's wiser? Zoo Atlanta officials say they doubt they'll find a barn owl who escaped handlers during a training session over the weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, the barn owl took off. Now, zoo officials say that the owl was no longer wearing a tracking device and that the area near the zoo is a good habitat for barn owls.
Oh, barn owls?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not barred, but barred.
Yeah. Because we've raised a couple barred owls that we've rescued in our woods after a big wind. And I'll tell you what, they stick around. They'd come around and want to get fed for quite some time. Usually late at they're born in the 1st of June or late in May, and they would still come around the house until August. And you could hear them coming through the woods because they'd be hooting, hooty-hoot, hooty-hoot. And then I'd have to have a piece of raw meat, and they would actually sit on a post out by our front door, and they would stare at me as I was watching television. And I'd have to go out there with a piece of meat, and this is how amazing it was. I'd throw the piece of meat toward the owl, and it would catch it out of midair.
Yep, I remember the owls when they were little white fluff balls.
Yep. And
they sure
were. We released them. I mean, what they would do is they'd leave for a night. You wouldn't see them, and they'd come back to be fed. And they'd leave for a couple nights, and then three nights. And usually that meant they were on their own. They were hunting on their own, so they were ready to go.
That's good. Yeah, those are quite beautiful animals.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the owl that escaped from Zoo Atlanta will someday be able to show his children where it lived once.
Oh, let's hope so.
All right, a big thanks goes out to rescuers who came to the aid of a large leatherback turtle that became entangled in fishing gear this weekend off the southern New Jersey coast. Now, did you see this turtle?
No.
Well, the approximately 800-pound turtle... Yes, 800 pounds was spotted
800
Saturday.
800 pounds?
Yes. It was spotted Saturday by a good Samaritan who provided the Coast Guard with the GPS coordinates for the turtle's location. They came out, untangled the turtle, and sent him on its way.
Thank God it was in the ocean, because there's so much buoyancy in the ocean that to make that a little bit easier, but still 800 pounds, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good size.
Good for those guys.
Well, now it's time for the mammal maternity ward.
Uh-oh.
Now we have a rare birth in China, triplet panda cubs.
I saw pictures.
Yeah, well, they're still in an incubator in the Chimelong Safari Park there, and the cubs were born on July 29th and seem to be doing well. We'll just, you know how that is. Let's keep our fingers crossed for the triplets.
Yeah.
Also, we have a giant baby anteater, a baby giant anteater.
Yeah.
Either way is correct.
Yeah.
Which was born July 25th at Roger Williams Park Zoo in Providence, Rhode Island.
Good for them.
Now, they're pretty cool animals. I used to, when I lived in Panama, I would see one every day cross our little airstrip, go to the Panama Canal, get a drink of water, and head back into the jungle.
God, that
quite
was awesome.
Quite lovely creatures.
Oh, they are.
But the winner tonight is four lion cubs have been born at the North Carolina Zoo and are the facility's first cubs since 2006.
I want one.
Yeah, I bet you do.
I do.
You've had so many big cats over the years. One of your cats, I can't remember, what's her name, Lindsay, had a foot fetish. She'd steal my moccasins or my shoes and hide them behind the couch when she was growing up.
Yeah, and we had a lion we traveled with, and one night she was sleeping in a motel room with us, and for some reason I got up about 3 o'clock in the morning, decided to turn the light on. It had a pair of my boots and was proceeding to chew on them like a chew toy. Luckily, I must have just caught it because there wasn't much damage done. But hell.
And that was your good pair of boots, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, those were the early days. I was beyond poor. So.
Yep, I remember well.
I think that was up in Syracuse, New York, when we were doing some sports shows up there doing programs, if I remember right. Yeah, but, I love the big cats.
Yep, I know you do.
Yeah.
All right, now, do you know where to find the best apples this time of the year?
Well, I don't know, but I was kind of thinking, I wonder if lead guitarist of the Kinks, Dave Davies, would know. You know Dr. Dave?
Well, Larry, you know, it's Garden City, Idaho. Yes, Garden City, Idaho. You know why?
Why?
The young bull elk has been hankering for apples for the first time. For the second time, a young bull elk has been sedated and removed.
Oh, well, what the heck?
Yeah, now for the second time.
We apologize for that, P.F.
yes, we do. Now, the Idaho Department of Fish and Game captured the elk over the weekend after spotting it eating apples from an apple tree in a vacant lot there.
What was the problem with that?
Well, exactly, I don't know. But they don't want him in town eating their apples.
Oh, God.
Now, the reason he came back is I think he might like the tranquilizer. Yeah. This could be the tranquilizer. It's not the apples. Now, come on, guys. Give me another shot.
There's a lot of stress on moose these days, right?
That's true. Yes, there is. All right. Now, we're going to call
that
this
the
next story.
Yeah, it's long.
Revenge of the Turkeys.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
We have to hear from
Ohio.
Dave Davies again.
Now, state wildlife officials are trying to determine if turkey manure running to the Little Ottawa River is responsible for killing thousands of fish this last weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
I would ask Dave what he thought about it, but I don't want to know.
Yeah, he can't use the proper language. And to quote W.C. Fields, any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live one to swim up.
Oh, that's a T-shirt, Dr. Day.
It could possibly be, yes.
Yes.
And now for some new old news. Traverse City, Michigan. A 10-year-old girl recently discovered an eastern elk skeleton that could be up to 300 years old.
Oh.
Yeah, now this is pretty interesting. Her and her father found the remains in a Benzie County lake while they were kayaking. The 10-year-old looked down into the water and saw the skull, and they recovered it and found out that it's over 300 years old.
My Lord, that's cool as hell.
And that's pretty cool because, as you know, if that had been on land, it would have been gone a long time ago.
Porcupines would have eaten it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Also, in Las Cruces, New Mexico, my old stomping grounds, a prehistoric elephant skull called one of the most intact ever found is now part of a New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science exhibit in Albuquerque. And Albuquerque was one of my favorite places because they had drive-through liquor stores.
Now, the 3-million-old Stegomastodon fossil was found at Elephant Butte Lake there. And
I'm thinking road trip.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm thinking road trip. Yeah.
All right, now our next story, we're talking WWF.
Really?
Not the World Wildlife Federation. We're talking the World Wrestling Federation.
Uh-oh.
Stevensville, Wisconsin, yes. St. Patrick Parish didn't let protests of animal cruelty stop its annual pig wrestling fundraiser this last Sunday. Yes. Yeah, the pig wrestle has been its tradition for 44 years and is a big draw for its fundraising picnic.
You know, that is about the dumbest thing. Protest that. I mean, anybody
yeah.
that enjoys a pork chop or a ham should see what the pigs go through when they have to kill them and process them. So a little guy's slipping off a pig, that's just stupid.
That's just for fun.
My Lord.
Yeah. Well, you know, they'll protest anything.
They need to get a life.
That is correct. All right, let's do our local news.
Okay.
A 6-foot-long reticulated python has been missing for 2 weeks in Cicero, Indiana.
They haven't called me.
Yeah, they will hear soon.
Well, they better.
I don't know if you heard this story, but 600 animals found in strip mall.
I heard that, yeah. Guy
yeah.
wanted to open a pet shop, he said.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got to remember, 600 animals, most of them were mice.
Yes, and many of them were found dead.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
And no, it wasn't pretty yet.
Well, that's too bad.
And the police and animal shelter officials removed all 600 animals in it and trying to find homes for them. There was also an alligator there, so you might be hearing about that in the near future.
I called them. I left them a message. I said, if we can be of any assistance, please call me. And I did not hear anything. I could, you know, we've already got a dozen alligators. What, one more, what does that make?
Exactly. Yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised. You could be hearing from them in the future.
Well.
All right, well, yeah. I think we're running a little long tonight, so let's get into, finish up, and do Who's Gotten Older This Last Week.
Oh, we have to have PF come in on this because
PF
I know he probably
play because
knows most
he's
of these
probably
going to
get a few of the answers right. Cause
yes.
He should know. Are you ready, gentlemen?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. Singer Ronnie Spector got older this week.
Oh.
How old do you suppose Ronnie turned?
You want to guess first, PF?
You know, you're as young as you think you are. If you're talking about chronological age,
yeah.
You know, she's probably in her late 50s.
I'll say 62.
Well, I was surprised when I saw this. Ronnie turned 71.
Oh!
Yes.
PF was being kind.
And I just saw her not too long ago. She still looks pretty good.
I'll bet she does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, she's got a good attitude.
That's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull.
Oh, I saw. I'm going to say 67.
You know, I really can't say. I don't know. Tell me.
Well, Mr. Batson was correct. Jethro
I was?
67. Yep.
Oh, that was just a lucky guess.
That was a good guess. You know,
I
had no idea. All right, now, singer David Crosby.
Oh, I think he's 72.
PF?
You know, David probably doesn't remember. So it's anybody's guess.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll probably never know for sure.
Because if you can remember it, then you weren't there.
That's right. Well, David turned 73 today.
Oh, I missed it by one. I saw it. I can remember what I saw.
Okay, actor, comedian, banjo player Steve Martin.
Oh. 65.
Oh, yeah, somewhere in his mid-60s, early 60s.
He is, he turned 69 today also.
Oh, God love him. 69 years young.
Yep. Still taking care of it. Now, I saw Steve Martin live in the late 70s. And I was lucky enough, Steve's opening act was Steve Goodman.
Oh.
Yes, and it was just a few months before Steve passed away. And as we know, Steve wrote The City of New Orleans and many other great songs. But that was just a lucky moment. He wasn't advertised as an opening act or anything. He just showed up, and he was there.
Wow.
Quite surprised.
That's
okay,
cool.
Well, let's get on with this and finish up with the Wild World Facts of the Day. Tonight, we're talking otters.
Cool.
Are you excited?
I'm excited.
I'm PF's excited, too, I bet.
I'll bet he is.
All right, now, sea otters are carnivores in the family Musculidae.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the group of animals that includes weasels, badgers, skunks, fishers, minks, river otters, and sea otters. And all of these animals have a thick fur and short hair.
And a musk gland.
And a musk gland, yes.
Yep.
That's why they're part of that family. Now, sea otters are social and hang out together. Their groups are called rafts and are formed of either females and their youngs or males.
Mm.
Yeah, they kind of all hook up together and float as a raft. Now, here's the really cute part. You're going to say, oh.
Okay.
Now, young sea otters are so buoyant that they can't dive underwater. And before they go foraging, the mother sea otters will wrap the young in a piece of kelp to keep them anchored in one spot so they don't drift away with the current.
Well, that's just beyond cool.
Yep, and you know, if we do that, then we'll be arrested if we tie our kids up. All right, well, that's the Wild World News for August 14th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. Now renovated HD with this beautiful knotty pine paneling. It just absolutely looks spectacular. We also want to remind everyone that this part of our program is brought to you by Tire Service Plus, Jerry Jones. God love him. He keeps our animal truck on the road, traveling thousands of miles across this country, making sure we can have a chance to entertain and educate with our animal family. Their number is 317-243-0700. And if you're listening, just call him up tomorrow and say how much you appreciate him being an underwriter. So make it possible so we can have wonderful guests like P.F. Sloan on Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Call me Spaniard, why do they do that? They look away when they see me coming. They call me Estoque behind my back. They think that I like watching. I was a prodigy before my name was Mud. Along the ride where the river floods. What am I now? An outcast whose recital get only mixed reviews from the entitled. What kind of life is this? I mean, I must protest that bourgeois life. Describe myself in a word or two. Beautifully blue am I. Mozart wannabe. The piano player from 80s. Papa Haydn's little genius mistake. They think I'm in it for the ladies. But I prayed in a cellar upon a heart's defeat. My heart belongs to no country. Music is everywhere for me. What kind of life is this? I mean, we must protest the bourgeois life. It's true, beautifully blue, am I?
F. Sloan in this wonderful new album, My Beethoven, My Black Robe Spaniard. And we are, gosh, as Dr. Day said, we're not worthy, because tonight we have a musical legend, a major fixture in music history, all the way from California. Welcome to the show, P.F.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
I told you, Dr. Day, wasn't that wonderful?
That was incredible.
Oh, my God.
The way that was orchestrated, that was just incredible.
This is an album you've wanted to do for a long time, isn't it?
I was compelled to work on this for, it was approximately 18 years.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes, it's unimaginable. It's almost verifiable, but it's become a reality.
Oh,
definitely miraculous grace.
And you've gotten such great reception from this album. I know I've read, I've heard, and it's I'm saying for our worldwide audience at this moment, if it's not nominated for a Grammy of some sort, the show's not worth tuning in for, because this is spectacular, this entire album. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Well, Beethoven has been hijacked, and he's been hijacked by the elites who like to dress up in tuxedos. Nothing wrong with tuxedos.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I was growing up, tuxedos... Well, you know, you used to have to spend a lot of money. Now, you know, you can buy a tuxedo for $90, but still the ticket prices are exorbitant to go listen to Beethoven. And Beethoven was simply a man of the people, and his music should be, can be, and hopefully will be in the minds and hearts of people of all ages, not just the people who are the tastemakers, who tell us that they own him and the likes of this kind of music. But there is only one Beethoven, and the beauty and the love that is encompassed in his music is healing to animals and humans and everything on Earth that can listen to him.
Well, that's truly spectacular. I can remember as a youngster, we used to do a program called Music Memory where they play all this classical music. And being in the fourth grade when we had to do this and we went down and heard a huge symphony perform it, then we'd have to guess who, what the piece was and so forth. And, you know, things like that are being taken out of our school system. And I know artists like P.F. Sloan, this makes us very, very sad, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's a, but it's a cycle to my heart's way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in life is cyclical, and you know, this too will turn around. But the generation that is missing out is saddens my heart.
It does, Dr. Day. Now I have to tell you. P.F. started basically in the music business when his father bought him a guitar. And what, you were 13 years old?
Actually about 11 and a half, 12.
Okay. Dr. Day, who do you think was one of the first people to give P.F. Sloan a music lesson?
Boy.
Just off the top of your head.
Give him a hint.
1957. Ed Sullivan.
And possibly the world's greatest entertainer.
Yeah.
In rock and roll.
In rock and roll, yeah.
Oh, boy.
He came from Tupelo, Mississippi.
You're kidding. No way.
Yes.
Yes.
Way.
Way.
Cool.
Elvis Presley. Tell us about that moment. I'm sure you remember it as it happened yesterday.
Isn't it amazing? Yeah, the ability that we have to remember things. Hopefully we can forget the bad things and just remember the wonderful loving things. This was a remarkable loving thing. I had, as you told the audience, had just gotten a guitar from my father. I had been playing on a one-string broken hop-along cast ukulele that I found in the garbage. I was harmonizing to it, you know, like Everly Brothers style. You know, the one broken plastic string would be Don and I would be Phil. So I would harmonize. And apparently the father got tired of that one string and went to a big music store in Los Angeles and purchased me an acoustic six string, and I didn't know what to do with the other five strings. So it was all a mystery to me. So I hopped on a bus and took you know, in those days, these guitars came in what was known as a triangular cardboard box.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like much. But
no.
These were magical. Anyone who saw you carrying a magical triangular cardboard box knew that you were a musician. Mind you, I couldn't afford a guitar case in those days, so that's what I carried it in. And I went to the music store where my father had purchased it, and I got off the bus, and it was quite a scene. There was hundreds of screaming girls and two police officers in front of the music store. And I just was 12 years old, and I walked right up to the police officers with my cardboard box in hand, and they looked at it, and they said, "Oh, a musician, you can go in."
Oh, my Lord.
So this was the largest record store possibly in the entire country. Just what seemed like acres and acres of music. You know, 45s, LPs, and there was a little music counter off to the side, and that's where musicians went, you know, to buy their strings and where musicians went to buy their guitars.
Mm-hmm.
So I placed the cardboard on top of the glass cabinet there, and what appeared to be a very old man who couldn't have been more than 23 asked me what I wanted with this, and he opened it up, and I said, I'd like to learn how to play this. And he looked at me and he said, well, he said, I think you need to buy a guitar book. We have one here. Now, at that moment, a very spectacular thing happened. Elvis Presley was upstairs, and he was getting his guitar fixed. And he comes walking downstairs, and he comes walking over to me, and he says to me the words, I bet you'd like to learn how to play this thing, huh, kid? And I said, yes, sir. And the next thing I know is the man behind the counter had turned into cardboard. In other words, I had never seen anything like it in my life. He was no longer present. It was like he had turned into cardboard. Elvis's aura or orbit or energy was so powerful that he wasn't allowed to witness it. So anyway, that kind of spooked me a little bit, and Elvis picks up my guitar and he puts it in my hands, and he comes around behind me and he starts putting my fingers on the fretboard, and he says, no, this is a D chord here, and he starts singing Love Me Tender in my ear, and he starts showing me how to do the chords for Love Me Tender, and he says, well, your fingers are a little bit too small to learn this chord. I'll show you a simpler one. Well, I don't know how much time went by, but he showed me how to play Love Me Tender, and then he handed me back the guitar and walked in front of me, and he said, something that took me years to understand. He said, don't worry about your sister. I'll make sure I get you an autograph for her. And I didn't tell him that I had a sister.
Yeah.
But he seemed to know that. Hmm. Now, how can I describe what this guy looked like? You know, the Greeks have a god that they call Apollo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is supposed to be shining and gorgeous and glorious, you know, like Diana, the goddess of love. Well, Elvis was glowing, just like a deity, filled with love. And then, Larry, the most magical thing that ever happened to me was that he took me inside of his heart and sat me down in his heart and explained to me the ways of the world and the universe. And he said to me, it's only love. It's all about love. It's not about fame. It's not about money. It's just about love. And I was so filled with love that has stayed with me my entire life. So that was somewhat of the experience of meeting Elvis Presley.
Oh, my Lord. That is fantastic. That may be the best story that we've ever had on this show. My gosh. That is...
The beauty of it is, there's one other part of the story, too, which is amazing. I'm a 12-year-old boy. He's a full-grown man. And he starts to confide in me. And he says to me, Colonel Tom wants me to get my guitar gold-plated, and I don't want that because he doesn't realize how heavy it is, and I can't move around with it being so heavy. And I looked in his eyes, and there was sadness. And I couldn't quite fathom it, Larry. The most sought-after man in the entire world, who had it all, screaming girls, money, fame, everything, was talking to a 12-year-old boy with sadness in his eyes, and I began to realize that fame doesn't bring the kind of thing that people think it does. And he instilled that in me, to never really go after fame. It's only to go after love and to give love and do the best you can in this world. So he was really my first teacher, both my guitar teacher and my first spiritual teacher.
Wow.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Oh, my Lord. My goodness. Another story, and we'll probably go up and around. The name of your book, P.S., before we forget, we want to tell everyone.
Well, the name of the book, I hope your listeners might laugh. I think we've all experienced this. It's called What's Exactly the Matter with Me?
I think that every day. I think that's what people that are special think every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
The ones that don't have a regular job, that live their passion, like yourself. I mean, I think I thought that today while I was putting together that baboon enclosure, thinking our woods was haunted. It was bugging the hell out of her. So, but my gosh.
If you don't mind, I have a quick question for you.
Sure.
I was reading today about wolverines not being put on the endangered species list. Is that something you agree with?
Well, in certain areas they're quite prevalent. Just to tell you, we have had a guest on. His name is Doug Chadwick. He's a writer for National Geographic magazine. And he studied wolverines. In fact, a couple winters ago, he invited me to come to Glacier National Park in Montana on their wolverine count. And it's just so difficult for me to get away. But here's to show you this animal, how incredible it is. They have a wolverine that had a GPS put on it that was living in Grand Tetons National Park. And for some reason, that wolverine decided to head south and is now residing in Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado, which is approximately, I think, over 500 miles that animal migrated to. So I would say that the one wolverine that lives in Colorado should be protected. But I'm anti-hunting. I think hunting's fine if you do it for the right reasons. But I think it's a horrible crime if you do it just for one's ego. And that's when I have a problem with it. And I think wolverine should be put on the endangered species list in the United States because there's not that many.
All right.
Yeah, I definitely think they should be.
Wouldn't you just love to know the mental process for just a moment when the wolverine sort of decided, that's where I'm going to take a walk?
I know. And you know what he told us on the show? He said wolverines will go to places that even animals like mountain goats, which can literally walk a rock wall, won't even consider. And they are pound for pound probably the toughest animal Mother Nature's ever put on this planet. Years ago I had an opportunity to get a couple wolverines for our school lecture program. And they were from Sweden. And what the problem was is that the person that was selling the wolverines, and they were babies, wanted $8,000 apiece. And I wanted the opportunity so badly to raise those wolverines and be able to present them in front of young people because that is an amazing animal.
Well, let me ask you one other quick question. Do you think the comic book, the Wolverine,
mm-hmm.
Does any harm or justice? The name Wolverine is now known by, millions of young people, but they think it's got these sharp claws and, and as a fighter, when that is that anything like the Wolverine's personality?
It is, because there's no animal the Wolverine will back down to, including a grizzly bear.
Whoa.
And usually when other animals run in their territory, they avoid them, especially bears, grizzly bears, Kodiak bears. They are determined. and they are fearless. And
yeah, that's the word I was thinking.
That they, I have so much respect for them, and I still to this day, I wish I could have found a sponsor to get those two. I would have loved to, because we raised PF, we raised badgers, which have a similar reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And we took them to hundreds of schools. They were there were two males. In fact, we even took them out to the Johnny Carson show a long time ago, and they were amazing lecture animals. And they were fantastic. In fact, I will have to say the 20 years that I worked with those animals, I was never injured once, and there's not many animals I can say in my collection that that is true. So it, they were pretty amazing. I love that particular group of animals. It's so the Wolverine characterization is somewhat accurate to their actual personality. They're not real pleasant. just think about the worst
well,
record.
Good. It's good. It's putting it out there in the consciousness, the name Wolverine.
Yeah, just think about the worst record executive you've ever had to encounter, and that is the worst.
You have a nickname. You have a nickname for your wife, don't you?
Oh yes, PF. My wife, I call the bipedal Wolverine. She's the best darn animal handler you'll ever meet, and I was looking back in one of our enclosures one day, and she was in with full-grown mountain lion, and this one mountain lion giving her a hard time, and she just rolled up her fist, and she gave him a pop in the nose, and he just stood there, and he didn't know what the heck to do. And I could still see, and she's only 2 inches taller than a munchkin, like the last munchkin that died. Which was the coroner. I think he was 4'8". So she's like 4'10". But she's amazing. Just amazing. And you know what's also amazing, Dr. Day?
Tell us.
This new album by P.F. Sloan, because we want to play the heck of it, out of it tonight. From P.F. Sloan, Miss Unbuttoned, right here on Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
People say this, or people will say that, with no regard for truth or knowledge of the facts. If a musician is fine, it's beer they drink, virtuoso's wine, composer's lead and ink, so let's drink. I took a page out in the Vienna Times, stating I knew my Wellington score was a crime. But may lightning strike any critic who agrees with it, because my crap is still better than anyone else's shit. Philosophy of life, it's simple, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fingers separated on our hands must work in harmony if we are to succeed in the task that's planned. So lend your hand.
From the album My Beethoven, Miss Unbuttoned, P.F., my God, this album. My Lord.
Well, you know, Larry, those are actually Beethoven's words when he had a very large bar bill. He liked to... He liked to play piano in the bars with his friends, and he would go to the bar almost every night, and he didn't have much money, so he had a very large bar bill, and this guy came up to him and said, you know what, I will pay your bar bill if you will write the music to this play that I've written. Mm-hmm. And Beethoven thought it over and thought, well, it's a very large bar bill, so yeah, I'll write the music for you. And it came out sort of like on what Broadway is in New York. In Vienna, they had these big music halls. And you have to one fact to keep in mind, which most people don't realize, is that Beethoven was not liked at all in Vienna. People think that he was, loved and respected. He was not. Mm-hmm. They only loved and respected Mozart. He was a Mozart wannabe, and they didn't like his music, and they didn't like his dress, and they didn't like his attitude. And anyway, the play came out, and the reviewers said, oh my God, who is this guy Beethoven? He had already been living there 8 years, and they praised him to the hilt, saying it was wonderful. And he began to earn money for the first time in his life. And the curious thing is that after a year, the same reviewer who loved it went mm-hmm. back and panned it, said it, the music is horrible. So at this time, Beethoven took out a page ad in the Vienna Times saying, don't you think I know that what I wrote was terrible? But still, my worst stuff is better than anybody else's.
What a personality. My goodness. What a comeback.
he had a terrific sense of humor, which unfortunately has not been told. You know, everyone thinks of Beethoven as a grumpy old man, but basically he was a fun-loving, childlike, God-inspired, spiritual, hard-working, loving musician. And God love him for that.
Absolutely. Our guest tonight, P.F. Sloan. We're going to take a short break. We're going to hear more from his new album, and I still call them albums, My Beethoven. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat. Oh, boy, a kitty cat. Cassie, the kitty cat's yelling. What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters?
This bobcat's heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
We're Rascal Flatts. There's a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things every day. That place is called the American Red Cross. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Well, we'll be back with P.F. Sloan in just a few moments. Gosh, what a wonderful show tonight. We want to remind everyone that this part of Wild World is brought to you by McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. Great contributors to our show. If you've never been to the Rockies of the West, Rocky Mountain National Park, it is absolutely spectacular. If you're an artist, a songwriter, gosh, is it inspirational to watch these magnificent Rockies. And McGregor Mountain Lodge is really the perfect place to stay. It's right on the boundaries. You'll have wildlife in your backyard. My wife and I have stayed there several times. Bighorn sheep, elk, mule deer. It's absolutely amazing. They have a 24-hour webcam. I encourage you to go to that and see the latest weather conditions in Estes Park, Colorado. The website is McGregorMountainLodge.com. They help us out. Keep Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. I want to remind everyone that you can go back and listen to all of our past shows. Gosh, we're edging toward 200. I think next week will be the 200th show that we've done on Wild World, and we've had some wonderful guests such as tonight, P.F. Sloan, but others from the rock and roll world, Al Jardine, our good friend Dave Davies, Gary Lewis, Jimmy Greenspoon of Three Dog Night, Chris France from Talking Heads. It's all there. They're available to listen absolutely free of charge. The website is www.blogtalkradio.com/Larry.
Beethoven a delight, but I alone know his secret, the dark secrets of his life. It's like one hand holds a candle, the other holds a knife. Oh yes it does. Tonight I'll use one or the other, end my shame in the name of love. This I know, I know I will, I know I will, I swear it. In moonlight dreams I'll dance with you, through time and time won't care. do my finger exercise, or linger in its sweet surprise, and then do it over again. For magic in piano keys, but in between these notes I'm playing is all the music that's yet to be. Only for me there's no more thunder, no children's laughter down the line. Golden silence is mine. Who knows the reasons for heaven's gain? All I want is he returns me mine. Oh, I know that I don't know. I swear it. Fate is our puppeteer. The trick is knowing when to dare it. You must listen to your soul for guide, or be damned to the higher. Every day.
P.F. Sloan from his album, My Beethoven, the title cut. That is just spectacular, P.F. My gosh.
Thank you, Larry. What's interesting is that I didn't know how to play piano until I started on this project.
You're kidding.
And it took me about 5-6 years teaching myself, listening to Glenn Gould playing Beethoven, and then I finally began to be able to adequately write the music that was going through my soul.
Oh, my gosh. And there's nothing more powerful than a timpani. And that was, my gosh. That's just wonderful. I enjoyed every 6 minutes and 56 seconds of it. It was absolutely spectacular. We were going to talk about your early career. The beginnings. Dr. Henry Day, our guest tonight, was the falsetto voice on Jan and Dean's Little Old Lady from Pasadena.
No way.
Yes.
That was one of my first albums.
Well, there probably wouldn't have been a Jan and Dean if it wasn't for PF. Am I not right?
You are right, and it's a double-edged sword. Yes, I was the falsetto on all the big Jan and Dean hits after Surf City.
Mm-hmm.
The sad thing was that I really loved both of those guys, Jan and Dean, and it was sad that Dean wasn't allowed to sing on his own records anymore.
Oh.
And I needed to keep that a secret for, it's been 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time for the secret to come out.
Well, it should. That's a major part of music history. And your genius, I mean, you're one of the great musical geniuses, especially in the 60s, and now you've reiterated that with this new album. But my gosh. Working with groups. Go ahead.
I'm beginning to think of myself like the Quentin Tarantino of singer-songwriters, just coming out with what you think is impossible.
Well, you're one of the lucky people that can live their passion and do things that you want to do. I know that the record company that you're working with right now, you have complete freedom, I am sure, without even asking.
The beautiful thing, the way that that the Divine Lord had set it up was, As I said, I worked on this project for 18 years, learning how to play piano, learning how to arrange an orchestra, and writing the lyrics. I just really didn't ever expect that anyone in the world would ever hear it. And Carol at Ms. Records, I sent her a copy of it, and she said she had never heard anything like that in her life, and she said, would you allow me to put it out? And I said, I'd be very happy if you did. And so it has been released on Ms. Records.
And where is it? And it's available on your website, I assume?
It's not on my website. It's available on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
.com, and also foothillrecords.com,
okay,
which is Carol's website.
Carol's a great, great soul. She's been on the show a couple of times, and she's just the best. We cannot say
good the enough idea with her. That she could actually hear, you know, this music, which actually no one in the world has ever heard except for myself for 18 years. The fact that she loved it, the fact that you're actually playing it is beyond my comprehension right now.
Oh my Lord, gosh, it's our pleasure to play it. This will be on our playlist. We have programs where we may not have a guest and we just play music from some past guests, and this will be on our permanent playlist from now on. I'll assure you of that.
Well, Larry, I got a quick story for you.
Okay.
It's about Dave Davies.
Oh, please. Please.
It's going to be a good story.
It is. It's a wonderful story. You know, I was around 17, working at $10 a week at a publishing company called Screen Gems Music, which is a subsidiary of Screen Gems Movie Company, and also a subsidiary of Alden Music, which was the great music publishing company, what they call Tin Pan Alley in New York. Mm-hmm. You know, Carol King, Barry Goffin. Anyway, I think I told you that I had gotten in a package from Brian Epstein with four demos from the Beatles. And when I was able to arrange for the Beatles to get a record label in America, because Capitol Records, who was the sister company of EMI in London, had refused to release any Beatle records because the English music was, you know, persona non grata. You know, they didn't sell music here in the United States, so they didn't want to waste their time. But at the time that the Beatles just began to make a noise, before, it might have been just right after the Ed Sullivan Show,
mm-hmm.
I got a call from a guy by the name of Jimmy Bowen, who used to be a great country western singer and songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And he was now the head of Frank Sinatra's boutique label called Reprise Records.
Right.
And he had gotten a record in from a new group called the Kinks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my.
And he didn't like it. He didn't understand it. But before he was going to pass on it, he called me up and he said, "You understand this English stuff. Could you come over to the office and listen to this record that I got in?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. So I went over, and he puts on All Day and All the Night. Dun,
wow.
Dun, 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 dun. And he's sitting there scratching his head, thinking this is, you know, just terrible, terrible stuff. And I said to him, I said, "Jimmy," I said, I don't know what to tell you. I said, it seems like you've got a number one record on your hands right there. And he said, this is terrible. What makes you think this is a number one record? I said, "Are you kidding?" I said, "This group is going to be as big as the Beatles." So they signed the Kinks, and the Kinks went on Reprise Records.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dave Davies, when the first record came out and was a hit, and Dave found out that I was the one who had gotten them the contract at Reprise,
mm-hmm.
Was asked by the New Musical Express, you know, "Who is your favorite songwriter?" You know, and everyone expected, you know, him to say Bob Dylan. But he said, no, he said, "My favorite songwriter is P.F. Sloan."
Oh, man.
Cool.
That's Dave.
That is Dave. And, you know, one addendum to the story was, I don't know if you're familiar with a great, great drummer. His name is Hal Blaine.
Mm-hmm.
He worked on every major record in Los Angeles that was a hit. And he was signed to the record label that I was on, and I was asked to produce an album with him. And that afternoon, after meeting Jimmy Bowen, we needed some more songs for Hal Blaine's album. So I wrote one on the spot, and it started with dun, da 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 da. And Hal Blaine goes, "What the F is that?" And I said, "You'll find out. You'll see." But, you know, the funny thing is that your listeners might not understand is that no one, except for people in London, understood British music. I mean, in America, nobody could hear British music. And so the Kinks, you know, were not understood, and they were just sort of bought, but they didn't really hear it. They didn't love it. They didn't know what they had. And, you know, we all know how great the Kinks are.
Oh, my Lord, yes. And Dave has been on. He's been a wonderful, kind guest to us. And it's, in fact, he was even so kind to entertain us with the story that I know he's told a billion times of how he got the guitar sound before You Really Got Me. and he told it as if he'd never told it before. And that just showed me at that moment what a night. And he really wanted to talk about was animals. And I think the funniest quote, he said during the program, I said, "How are you and your brother Ray getting along?"
Well, Larry, you know what it's like? You can't keep two tigers in the same cage now, can you?
No. That's exactly what he said. So, God bless Dave Davies. That's just
we
incredible.
Love Dave.
Yeah,
yes, we do.
Send him my love if you talk to him soon.
Oh, I was. He's coming. He's got a new album coming out, and I've emailed him. We're talking with him now about being on the program. And as you touched on briefly, you were probably without a doubt the first person to hear the Beatles in the U.S. Writing songs for such artists as Barry McGuire, the Turtles, Herman's Hermits, my Lord, the Searchers, and as I mentioned earlier, one of my favorite songs of the '60s. Secret Agent Man with Johnny Rivers, and you wrote the original guitar riff.
Well, yes, not only the riff, but the actual words and lyric.
Mm-hmm.
And it originally came out as an instrumental by the great surf group, The Ventures.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tearing up the charts. And Johnny Rivers, bless his soul, really didn't like He didn't really hear the song. He had just recorded 30 seconds of it for the television show. But he was into writing his own songs, and he didn't want to do it. But when The Ventures seemed to be having the biggest hit record in their career, Johnny decided to go in and record it, and then his record knocked The Ventures off in 3 weeks.
I'll bet. Yeah. It's
but there's so much energy and life in that recording of his, and the writing of it was special, it was special because I wasn't really trying. Everything just seemed to come from some inner place, and like it was already written. Mm-hmm. And after I had written it, I just knew that this was a song that was going to last.
Well, you say that you weren't trying, but you are one of the individuals that is blessed with a very, very special talent that I think is escaping the record industry in this day and age. And God love you, because as I've told artists on this show in the past, thank you for being the background music for our lives as we grew up and get all excited and walk into that little turntable and pop on that 45 and listen to Johnny Rivers or Barry McGuire or Herman's Hermits. That still was one of my favorite Herman's Hermits songs, because I was a fan of theirs as well, A Must to Avoid, which P.F. wrote. So that's we want to thank you, because all that hard work just made our lives, made us feel better.
Amen.
Well, you said the key word there, and that is fan. If I would call myself anything, yes, I was blessed with the talent. That took years of dedication and devotion and sacrifice. But basically, I'm just a fan of music. Mm-hmm. And the idea that I could actually earn $10 a week writing songs and music was, one of the most unbelievable things, that I can recall in my life. First and foremost, I'm a fan. What would life be without this pop music that we have?
Oh, my Lord.
It's unthinkable. I'm very pleased, very happy, very astonished, that the music and the songs that I've written are still admired, because many of them, like Sins of a Family, which was banned all over the world, which happened to be a true song, a true story about my cousin. Eva Destruction was banned all over the world. You know, these were songs that were coming from not so much pop, but my idea of what pop music was, and that is we should be talking to one another through music.
Well, didn't Paul McCartney say something to you about that song?
About Eve?
Yeah.
Well, yes, he did. It was kind of like an off-the-cuff remark, but I was 19, and Eva Destruction was number one. It had just knocked off Like a Rolling Stone and Help, and Sins of a Family was climbing up the London charts as well as Where Were You When I Needed You by the Grassroots. And so we were invited to be with the Beatles at a club in London called St. James. And I'm sitting there with Paul McCartney and Mick Jagger, and Paul turns over to me and he says, is it true that we're on the eve of destruction? And I said, what do you mean, Paul? And he says, well, if it is, he says, I want to get me money out of stocks and bonds as quick as possible. So he was taking it quite seriously.
I guess he was. Funny. Oh, our guest is PF. What a wonderful show. Let's listen to something else from My Beethoven. Gosh, each song is a masterpiece. It's in celebration of, on Wild World, My Beethoven with our very, very special guest, the legendary PF Sloan.
I know a man who lives a lie. He's passing time until he dies. I know a man who stays at home. He's scared of ending up alone. I know a man who has great wealth. He only thinks about himself. And watch dogs become lap dogs. When good people are silent, then freedom's enslaved. When good people are silent. I know a man who's filled with pride. He keeps his secrets locked inside. I know a man who has great strength. He's open to experience. I know a man who hides his heart. He's scared that he might fall apart. When leaders become psychotic.
Our guest, P.F. Sloan.
I know a man with mouths to feed. He thinks about his friends in need. I know a man who's very wise. He knows it's great just being alive.
I felt so bad for my apologies, BF.
Not a problem.
What a great song. My gosh, I was caught up in the moment.
Yeah, Larry, don't feel bad. I actually did that purposely.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, to make it seem as if it was going to, because the last word is silence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wanted the silence to hang over.
Well, And I bet every time that you perform that live, you get a similar reaction from your audience. The clapping has already begun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I haven't really performed it yet.
Oh, well, they're missing out until you do. I mean, I can't even imagine a live performance. My gosh.
Well, I've been performing This Love,
mm-hmm.
And honestly, Larry, you know, people's jaws just drop. You know, they're just
I can imagine.
Yeah, they're just not expecting that coming from the guy who wrote Secret Agent Man. You know,
and yeah. All I can say is an hour and a half wasn't long enough. That's my assessment, Dr.
I have to agree, yes. We haven't even scratched the surface.
No, and he's got the title of the book again.
Is What's Exactly the Matter with Me? And it's a romp through the 1960s with all of the details of all of the artists that I worked with and a lot of the mysteries behind the myths and hopefully done in a spiritual, enlightening way.
It has to be. If you were a part of it, it just has to be. Dr. Day, I have to say this is one of our favorite guests that we've ever had on the program.
Yes, without a doubt. The new music has so many feelings and moods, and it's just, I have to say, PF, it's incredible.
Well, thank you, Doctor. Thank you. Really.
I'll be bringing a CD over to your studio so you can have an opportunity. I've kind of hoarded it, I have to confess, and I've let my wife listen to it, but normally I've listened to it in the joy of my pickup truck with its mega stereo system, because those timpanis and orchestra instruments sound brutal.
I can't wait.
With the speaker system that's in my truck, and I'm thinking. And for the last few weeks, I couldn't wait for tonight. It's been so special. I hope and sincerely hope that you will consider visiting with us once again, because like he said, we just scratched the surface.
I'd love to, Larry. Well, this hour and a half has flown by just like a wild bird. It's been beautiful.
Do you ever get out to the Midwest? Or
you know, that is one part. Yeah, you know, I've just recently came back from London, and I've done New York, and, you know, the Midwest is some place that hasn't really called me as yet. It would be wonderful if it did.
Well, if it ever does, and if you get close to Indiana, you have an open invitation to my animal compound. I would love to show you my animal family. It would be an honor.
Wonderful.
Tigers and bears and all sorts of things. And
I would love it. I would.
And
just
we want to thank you so much for being on our show and spending this time with us. We want to tell everyone that next week on our program, brand new group of young men, and their band is called 800 Pound Gorilla. They'll be on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks, PF. It was fantastic. Dr. Day?
I can't say it better. It was great, PF. Thank you so much.
Gentlemen, God bless you both, and God bless your listeners, and thank you so very much for taking the time to speak with me.
Oh, it was our pleasure. You've been listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.